WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Tomorrow marks the 70th anniversary of the birth of jazz trumpeter Miles Davis. He died in 1991. Born in Alton, Illinois, and reared in East St. Louis, Davis became one of the most influential players in the history of jazz. Writer and teacher Gerald Early recently organized a conference at Washington University in St. Louis on Miles Davis and American culture. He has these thoughts.
He was called the Prince of Darkness, Peck's bad boy of jazz, the man with the horn. For me, jazz trumpeter Miles Davis was the greatest genius of jazz in the post-World War II era. For others, he was merely a talent who sold out, someone who betrayed the tradition. In 1970, he decided to play electric, rock-inspired jazz in front of spaced-out kids at big rock festivals in places like the Fillmore East and West. He had been the leader of the most successful small jazz bands in history. Kind of Blue, considered the best small group jazz record ever made, mesmerized me as a teenager. With collaborator Gil Evans, he had made some of the best orchestral jazz outside of Ellington. But he left that behind, going on to play a kind of mixture of avant-garde jazz, acid rock, funk, Stockhausen, and hip-hop until his death in 1991. Some thought this fusion music was adventuresome, and so did I. But others thought it horrible and grotesque. Still others thought it boring. He never looked back. "I have to change," Miles Davis said. "It's like a curse." He was known for having a foul mouth and a foul temper. He turned his back on his audiences and often snapped at admirers. Yet for most of his career, he was among the few band leaders who really cared about both his musicians and his music. Unlike most jazz musicians, Miles Davis died playing music that was totally different from what he did in his prime. He wasn't a jazz snob. In fact, as he grew older, he rarely listened to it except for his beloved Ahmad Jamal. Hardly any jazz musician has ever been such a source of controversy, not even such atonal players as Cecil Taylor, Ornette Coleman, or Sun Ra. No jazz musician ever has so many supporters and detractors at the same time. Miles Davis was a man of contradictions. He was very race conscious. Some might call him a race man. Yet some of his most impressive records from the beginning of his career were done in collaboration with white musicians. He always tried to give the appearance of youth and vigor, yet he suffered terrible health for most of his life. He loved to box, yet one punch in the mouth could have ended his career. He wanted to take care of himself, yet he was incredibly reckless. Whatever demons drove Miles Davis, few musicians ever covered as much ground or made as many first-rate recordings or worked harder at sustaining their reputations as demanding craftsmen. He wasn't afraid of the influence of his sidemen. His legacy is almost that of modern jazz itself. When Wynton Marsalis first emerged, his music sounded like Miles Davis's 1960s band. Indeed, Marsalis made records with that band's rhythm section. Pianist Herbie Hancock, bassist Ron Carter, and drummer Tony Williams. Trumpeter Wallace Rooney is an unabashed disciple, and trumpeter Roy Hargrove tries to emulate Davis's cool demeanor. No trumpeter playing a ballad with a harmon mute can avoid sounding like Davis. No standard jazz quintet can play without echoes of his presence on the bandstand. No fusion band could exist without his concepts. Like Whitman, Davis contained multitudes. Like Emerson, he raised himself from American soil. Like Ellington, he understood the elasticity of style. Like William Carlos Williams, he rebelled against tradition without forgetting it. Intense, compulsive, inspired, yet self-destructive and vulnerable, he invented and transcended his own American selves. He was an original.
Gerald Early teaches English and directs the African and Afro-American Studies Department at Washington University.